as you read the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, you might wonder why it is that inspiration is chosen to reveal and figure part of the book of Acts, indeed, a sailing ship and a shipwreck. As you read the chapter, you realize that there are very many details given here. Details about direction and harbors and such things as these. As I read this chapter, however, I discover in it some very important illustrative material for a very important subject, that of our salvation. The background here, of course, is that the Apostle Paul is sailing to Rome to make his defense before Caesar. The interesting thing about the trip, however, is that it was a season of the year during which time storms were very common on the sea, and thus journeys made at this particular time, and by the way, those details are given to us in the reading. Voyages undertaken at this particular time could be very dangerous. Well, that was exactly what happened on this occasion. A storm overtook the ship on which the Apostle Paul was traveling, and the Bible says in verse 20, "And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." Exceedingly tossed with a tempest. There are several things that I would like us to notice here as we consider the verses before us. I'd like to begin by noticing in verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." We begin in verse 18 with the ships being tossed with the tempest, with the lightning of the ship, and finally throwing over the tackle of the ship. But in verse 20, "Neither sun nor stars for many days appeared." This was not just a temporary squall, friends. This was a major storm, and the ship was in danger. In fact, all hope was gone that we should be saved. Experienced mariners would be able to assess the situation, realize that indeed this was the case. We are going to be lost in the sea. We're going to drown. We're all going to lose our lives. All hope of life is gone. But then we read, beginning at verse 22, and I'd like you to read with me. I'd like you to carefully notice the words we're going to be emphasizing in this lesson this morning. "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life, of any man's life among you, but of the ship." We're going to lose the ship, but not a single person is going to be lost. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Good news. The mariners have bad news. We're all going to drown. But the Apostle Paul got good news from God. And I'd like you to notice, first of all, in this reading I just read, how he describes himself. "Whose I am and whom I serve." Isn't that a beautiful description of what a Christian needs to be? "Whose I am and whom I serve." But notice, he says this, "The angel told him that God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." This is the predetermined decision of God. Not a single person is going to lose his life. God has given to Paul all them that sail with him. But let's look at verses 30 and 31. "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these remain in the ship, ye cannot be saved." It was God's determination that all in the ship would be saved. But there was a condition to the promise, as often one finds in the reading of God's Word. And the condition was this: you've got to stay in the ship. You've either got to be in it or stay in it, one or the other, or both. But if you choose to flee the ship, you're going to lose your life. Now, he says here that there were some who had already made up their minds that they were going to drown. They had a little boat. They were going to let it down to the sea. And they were deceptive in what they were doing. They were going to let it down as if to cast out other anchors. But the apostle says to the centurion, don't let it happen. Anyone who flees the ship is going to be lost. Now, folks, listen to this. It was God's purpose that in the ship people would be saved. It was not, however, the ship which saved them. It was the purpose, the promise, and the power of God by which they were saved, as long as they remained in the ship. To flee the ship, however, was certain death. Salvation is in the church. At Mark chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Now keep that in mind. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then read with me Acts 2 at verse 47. "And the Lord added the saved to the church daily, such as were being saved." The Lord added it to the church, the saved. The Lord added unto them, some translations will say. The word, however, in the text is ekklesia, church, the called out. The Lord added to them daily such as were being saved. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. The Lord added the saved to the church. It is of paramount importance, my friends, that we understand that there is a place where the saved are, and there is a place where the saved are not. The saved, clearly, are in the church. Now, let me say this quickly. It is not the church which saves. However, the saved are in the church. It was not the ship which saved. Being in the ship would mean they would be saved. But it was by the purpose and the promise and the power of God that those mariners would be saved. It is God's purpose to offer to humanity salvation. And it is God's plan to elect where the saved will be, in the church. With that said, one would expect that there would be a place of entry into the body or the church. If in Scripture, as Scripture indicates, the saved are in the church, in the body, then there's bound to be some place at which one can know he has entered the church or the body. Now, the Bible says the saved are in the church. The Lord adds the saved to the church. And that's well and good. But we need something more definitive than that, don't we? I need to know where I can know exactly at what point I have entered the church. And we have a definitive answer. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read this verse for a very special reason. Verse 18. Colossians 1 at verse 18. "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Now, the first part of the verse is what I want you to look at. He is the head of the body, the church. The very special reason for my reading this is to be sure we all understand that the body and the church are in Scripture one and the same thing. Now, with that said, turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and there let's read together verse 13. Here the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now stop a minute and think with me. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, the Bible says the body and the church are one and the same thing. And here the Apostle Paul is writing, the church of Corinth is saved, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Things that are equal, you may substitute terms. Therefore, if the body and the church are one and the same thing, we can substitute terms. Let's do that. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one church." There, my friends, is the place, the point of entry into the body. Scripture everywhere indicates that this is the point, the place, the time at which a believing person is granted his salvation. He enters the church. He is added by the Lord to the body or the church. How important, however, is it that we understand this? Well, let's go back to the 27th chapter of the book of Acts for just a minute. Read verses 30 and 31. "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers," now listen carefully, "except these abide in the ship, he cannot be saved." How important is it that we understand that to be in the ship was tantamount to our being saved? Well, obviously it was important, wasn't it? How important is it that we understand that the saved are in the church and that to be out of the church is to be lost? Same thing. Here is an exact likeness of our relationship to the body of Christ. The situation that existed out there in the sea, storm-tossed sea, the likeness is this. In the boat, we're saved. In the church, we're saved. But if we leave it, or if we're not in it, we're lost. And I don't know any way to make the message any clearer than that. It's as clear as this illustration is in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Friends, God determined, predetermined, that salvation was going to be in the church. Now, He did not predetermine who the saved would be. If you go back over to the book of Revelation with me, chapter 22, verse 17, listen to what the Spirit of God says. "The Spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come." Now look carefully at these next words. "And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Let me say it again. God predetermined that salvation was going to be in the church. Not by the church, but in the church. He did not predetermine or predestine specific individuals to be saved. That was a matter of each person's free will. Now let's go back to Acts 27 for just a minute and do our example. What is it that the apostle writes or says here to the centurion? "Except these abide in the ship, he cannot be saved." God had decided, He had predetermined that these people who remained with the ship, who were in the ship, would be saved. But every person had a choice to make at that point. And the choice was whether or not to remain, whether or not to be in. God doesn't make that decision. He just says, this is the way it is. Salvation is in the church. The saved are in the church. But he didn't determine that Joe Simmons was going to be saved, or that Cecil Hudson was going to be saved, or that Ray Whitman was going to be saved. He just said, the saved are in the church. And whosoever will, that's your choice, you see, let him take of the water of life freely. You make the choice. I don't. God doesn't. He just made this determination where salvation is. Just as these mariners had to decide. Now, what he says here to us in verse 3 of Acts 27 is that some of the mariners were ready to flee out of the ship. If they fled, they would be lost. But the choice was theirs. They were not forced to remain, but that was the situation. You have a choice to make. And the choice is whether or not to be in the body of Christ, in the church. That's where the saved are. And the way you enter it is by being baptized into it. But there is no salvation out of it. To flee out of it or not to be in it. One is lost in the stormy sea. Now, friends, listen carefully. God has predetermined that there is a place, a limited place, where salvation is. Do not ever disparage the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not ever think that the church is not important. Do not ever say that the church, I can take it or leave it. Because if you leave it, my friend, you are lost. As lost as these mariners would have been in the sea. Salvation is in the church. And remaining faithfully in the body of Christ is absolutely essential to our being saved. Don't ever think you can leave the church with there being no consequences of that decision, because there will be consequences. You'll drown. You'll drown in the storms of life, just as these sailors would have drowned in the sea. The question is, are you in the church? A second question is, unfortunately, are you leaving the church? Now, you can know whether or not you're in the church. The person who believes in Jesus Christ and has been baptized into his body is in the church. Look with me, please, at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You can know whether or not you're in the body. There is not a doubt in the world. You know, when Joyce and I came home from Australia in 1969, we made the unfortunate decision that we were going to come home by ship. 31 days on a ship with four small children is too long. 3 days on a ship with four small children is probably too long. But you know, there was never a doubt in my mind when I was on board the Orsova, as it was called. You know, you go through this terminal building, you're not on the ship yet. But I believe in a little while I'm going to be there. But you're still out here in this terminal building, and people are hugging you, and you know, you're saying goodbyes. And then you walk out, and there's a gangway, I guess it's called. There were several of them on this particular ship. And we crossed this gangway. And there was water down below us in Sydney Harbor. And we cross the gangway and we walk through a big opening onto the ship. Now, I knew exactly when I was on the ship. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. I wasn't on the ship as long as I was walking along the gangway. But when I walked through that opening, I knew I was there. Same thing is true, friends, for you. You can know you are in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers who have repented of their sins and confessed the name of Jesus Christ and are baptized into the body of Christ for, in Acts 2 verse 38, the remission of their sins in the church. That's well and good. But what about those who are leaving the church? And apparently, from all the statistics that we hear, there are great numbers of people who enter and who leave. What about those folks who leave? Well, if I can use this illustration acceptably, and I believe that I can, the illustration is, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Except you abide in the church, you cannot be saved. If you leave it, you're going to drown. What about those who are leaving? They are, my precious friends, lost in the sea of despair. Here's something else about those who are leaving. They begin leaving before they have left. Think about that. Physically, they've not left. But what about mentally? Let me go back to Acts 27 for a minute, verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under the cover, as though it were to have cast out anchors of the foreship, mentally, these men had left the ship. Were they physically out of it? Not yet. But mentally, they were already gone. And would have left but for the persuasion of the centurion and the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who kept saying, "Be of good cheer." But had they left, they'd have been lost. And when people leave the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church in which the saved are, not saved by the church, but in which the saved are, they are lost. And unfortunately, as I have commented, they begin to leave before they've left. Where are you this morning? Are you in the body of Christ? Are you in the church? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins, baptized into the Lord's church? Are you perhaps in the church, but your heart is somewhere else? Now I ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. I'd like to read just a few verses, beginning at verse 4. And I'm going to be reading about people who have left the church, left the body of Christ. "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put into an open shame." Where are you this morning? Are you in the church? Baptized for the remission of your sins? Added by the Lord as one who is saved to His church? I pray so. And you must resolve, if that's the case, I'm going to stay in this boat, in this ship, because therein is salvation and nowhere else. Are you mentally leaving? Have you mentally left the church of our Lord? So, my friend, your situation is so tenuous, tragic. You are lost. And my hope is that I can persuade you to stay, to remain, be of good cheer. Salvation is in the church, not out yonder in the world somewhere, in the church. Never, never, my friends, disparage the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never, never speak critically of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I need to say this in passing and then I'll be finished. I understand that the church has in it imperfect people. But friends, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is a perfectly secure conveyance ultimately to heaven. Don't be critical of it. Commit to it. Be a part of it. Raise its sails and help it get from here to yonder safely. Safely. Because salvation, my friends, is in the church. And if you need to be a part of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you can be. You can cross that gangplank just like we did. And know when you are in the ship. Know when you are in the church. When you are baptized as a believing person. When you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into the church. The Lord will add you as one of the saved to His church. And that's where you should be. That's where you belong. And if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you're not in the church. You're not in the ship. You're out yonder in the sea. You're lost. Why stay out there, tossed around by the storm, when you can be in the security of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ? Those who may be thinking, I'm not content in the Lord's church. I prefer the world. Or I'm not as active as I need to be in the Lord's church. I want one foot on the deck and one foot on the shore. Doesn't work that way, friends. And there may be some of us for whom that is exactly the situation, but it won't work. We've either got to be in or we're out. Where are you this morning? If you need to make a decision about your whereabouts relative to the Lord's church, to His body, and ultimately to heaven, I urge that while we sing this song, you step in the aisle, you come to the front, and you say, I want to be a Christian. I want to be in Christ. I want to be in the church. Or, if there are those Christians here that are needing to make a decision about their whereabouts, could I plead with you this morning? And if I could get up off my knees, I would get down on my knees and beg you, stay in the church. Be active in the church. It's the only place where the saved are. And ultimately, your being in the Lord's church will take you home to heaven. It's the only way. If you need to come, we invite you to come now as we stand together and as we sing.